Blog Talk Radio.
You have tuned in to Home, Helen R. Ministry of Empowerment. Welcome home. Truly, today is the day that the Lord has made, and we're going to rejoice and be glad in it. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Truly, I'm excited that you have joined me on today. I'm excited about what the Lord is going to do in and through your life, and I am just overwhelmed by the blessings of the Lord, because it just makes us rich and adds us no sorrow. And I know God is going to tremendously bless you, and yes, you. On today, we have a beautiful lesson. Our lesson is going to be on when we pray. And I'm going to invite you to go ahead and get your Bible and come right on in and make yourself right at home. We're going to be looking out of the scripture over at Matthew chapter number 6, verses number 5 through verse number 15. And as you're grabbing your Bible, we're just going to get into the word of the Lord on today, even as we take a moment to pray and say, Father, we ask, dear God, that you bless us. Use these lips of clay for your glory and your honor. Bless your people as they're listening. And on today, we ask that you move by your power divine. We love you. We praise you. We glorify your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. On today, we have a glorious lesson, and we're going to be speaking on when we pray. The scripture over in Matthew number 6, verses 5 through 15 reads on this line. It said, when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you that they have their rewards. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. And ye pray, use not vain reputation as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. But be ye not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And for if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will you your Father forgive your trespasses. Mark chapter 11, verse 24 says, therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. When we begin to look at our scripture on today, we must recognize prayer is not by length. Is not measured by the length of the prayer, but meaningful prayer takes place when the prayer actually have touched God and when it is touching God. Now, it is impossible to place too much value on the privilege of prayer. We must recognize prayer is simply a conversation with God, yet there is nothing simple about the results of our time spent with him. It is a phenomenal connection with the God of the universe, where the Creator communes with his created masterpiece, which is mankind. And so it is unfortunately that many people have never discovered that the blessing of prayer, and some of them even complain that they do not know how to pray. And because of unbelief, often others refuse to pray because they do not believe that God will answer their prayer. In either case, those who do not take advantage of prayer deprive themselves of the benefit of communicating with God, who loves all people with everlasting love. Now, anyone who believes in prayer has found that God does answer prayer. Although God may not answer all prayer in the way that we expect, he may not even grant all of our requests. He does not answer all of our prayers. However, he does answer our prayer in one form or fashion. He does answer, whether he gives it to us or not. That is an answer. We must recognize that consequently, every believer who trusts in God, eternal wisdom will continue to pray. Daily prayer establishes and maintains a relationship with God, and our regular prayer empowers us spiritually. Now, prayer is actually a manifestation of a person's faith towards God. So when I begin to pray, it is a manifestation of my prayer towards God. The scripture reads over in Hebrews 11:6, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That's Hebrews 11:6. Now, when we pray, we inhibit faith that there is a God and that he hears and answers prayer. Now, as we look at this lesson, we're going to discuss when, where, why, and how we pray. Now, this lesson that we're going to study today will provide us with a deeper appreciation of prayer and will increase our faith to keep praying until the answer comes. Let's look at when we pray. The scripture says over in Luke 18:1, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought to always pray and not faint. Jesus' statement that individual ought to always pray correlates with Paul's directive to the Thessalonians, pray without ceasing. That's over in 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Certainly never stop praying, for those who continue to pray are blessed. The statements are not intended to be interpreted literally, for that would technically mean that a person could never do anything else. God did not intend for us to pray and do nothing else. Rather, he was admonishing us to never to discontinue the practice of regular and consistent prayer. Now, if anyone were to ask a fisherman if he's still fishing, he would honestly answer affirmatively, although he had no fishing gear in his hand or even near the water. One would not need to be to 24 hours to say that he is still fishing. If God does not expect us to pray 24 hours of every day, how long should we pray? The question is because they feel that they should be praying an hour each day in order to fulfill Jesus' implied expectation. What, could you not watch with me for 1 hour? That was over in Matthew 26:40. Others maintain we should not confine ourselves to a particular amount of time to pray each day. Moreover, some individuals may consider the early morning hours as the best time to pray. The thing is just for us to pray. And then you choose the time. You choose the hour, unless God waken you to pray. So whosoever will, let them come. Let us pray. Let us communicate with God. Is about the heart of the man as opposed to the set time. And see, he's for us to pray always. And so in our hearts, however we pray, when we pray, and things, we are praying always. Now let's look. We should pray when afflicted. James said over in James 5:13 state, is any among you afflicted, let them pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. The instruction of James regarding prayer in his epistle is simple and to the point. When we are afflicted, we should pray. The word afflictive comes from a Greek word meaning hardship or trouble. When things are difficult and we are having trouble, we should exercise prayer. No one should have to instruct us to do the obvious, but we often respond like the individual who failed to hit the emergency switch when confronted with a crisis. The switch is there, and we have the knowledge of what we should do, but when under duress, we often fail to react logically. Now, the miracle of God's grace is that he has made provision for our help in the time of need. He could have left us without privilege to prayer, and we would have no resource when in the midst of hardship and trouble. But thankfully, he has given us the gift of prayer. Now, affliction is not necessarily punishment from God or an attack from the adversary, but it is sometimes that visit all of us, and it'll visit everyone. Affliction also is a result of living in this world of conflict and change. Now, we recognize the preacher declare, time and chance happen to all of them. Ecclesiastes 9 and 11. Job proclaimed, man that is born of a woman is of a few days and full of trouble, Job 14 and 1. It is not the reality of affliction that should concern us, but the response to it. We have no control over how much of what we suffer, but we have control over how we respond towards that suffering. And so we must pray. Now let's look at another reason or a place and why we should pray. God said for us to pray for Jerusalem. The prayer for the peace of Jerusalem, they shall prosper that have them, that love them. Psalms 122:6. It is no secret to students of the Bible that God loves Jerusalem and the land of Israel. You'll see that over in Deuteronomy 11, verses 11 and 12. When we pray, we usually ask God for something that we would benefit us for our loved ones. We do not have need, or we should not have be timid about expressing them to God. However, we also should pray for Jerusalem because it needs are important to God, and it is the focal point of the end time prophecy. Now, let's look at where we should pray. Now, the scripture says that over in Matthew 6:6. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret, and the Father seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. If God is not only overly concerned with our physical position or place of prayer, why would Jesus tell his disciple to pray in the closet? With this statement, he countered the Pharisee vain display of self-righteousness standing in public places. They prayed to attract attention to themselves. And so here he was saying that these Pharisees was praying in these places so that they could attract the attention to them. And so here Jesus admonished them to pray in their closet, in their secret place. He also not only in the secret place, but also on the mountain. He also admonished them in the mountain. Also, he admonished them in the valley, and then he goes on to say everywhere. And so he is saying that unto us, don't pray to be seen, but be seen praying at things, whether it's on the mountaintop, whether it's in the valley, whether it's in the public places, if they have to be in the synagogue or in the churches, or even when you hear of a need. It doesn't mean not to pray, but we're not praying to be seen, but we're praying to exercise our faith in our God as to what he's calling us to do. Now, let's look at why we should pray. We should pray to forgive and to be forgiven. Among the many reasons for praying, to forgive and to be forgiven are perhaps the most significant, because the basic nature of human nature is selfish. And perhaps each prayer always should begin with our receiving forgiveness. What an opportunity and privilege we have in going to God in prayer and receiving forgiveness for our sin. Through prayer, we can receive something that no amount of money could purchase or no degree of power could focus and no measure of influence could persuade. Now, let's look at the following are some encounter scriptures and encouraging scriptures regarding forgiveness. Now, John 6 and 37, it says, "We have, and him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." And this is regarding forgiveness. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Isaiah 1 and 18 says, "Come now, let us reason together, said the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as snow, as wool." Also in Psalms 103 and verse 13, "As far as the east is from the west, so far have he removed our transgression from us." Again, he's talking about forgiveness and being forgiveness given. Now let's look at another reason why we should pray. And it is to communicate with God. Communication is necessary element of a relationship, for if we love someone, we will desire to communicate with that person. This is true whether the relationship involves our mate, our family, or our associate, or our friends. It is especially true if our relationship with God. We cannot maintain a relationship with God without communicating with him, and prayer is the means of that communication. Now, the other one is to receive spiritual guidance. Jeremiah 10 and 23 said, "O Lord, I know that the ways of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps." And here Jeremiah began to admonish, it's not in us to direct our own steps, especially when it comes to the things of God and the spiritual matter. It said, because we do not have the ability to direct our steps, we go to God for spiritual guidance. And the psalmist proclaimed, "The steps of a good man or a good woman are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way." Psalms 37 and verse 23. It is in prayer that we seek and we receive spiritual guidance from God. Now, let's look further. How we pray effectively, fervently, humbly, and persistently. These elements are key for us as we pray. The scripture said, "Confess your fault one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous man availeth much." And that also includes the woman. James 5 and 16, "It availeth much." Now, two objectives to Christ, the prayer in James 5 and 16, effectual and fervent. Now, when we talk about the word effectual, it means with emergency, with urgency, or we also mean that it's going to work, it's going to activate, it's going to move. And so when we pray, we want our prayer to move and to be activated and to activate God on the situation and the circumstance. And to be fervent is with intensity, with heartfelt prayer and things humbly, as we humbly approach God and humbly approach the things of God and persistently, being persistent. And things. When the unjust judge, that narrative, Jesus taught us to be persistent. He introduced the story with the statement, "Men ought always to pray and not faint." Luke 8:1. He told how the preoccupied judge kept ignoring the persistent widow who continued coming to him, asking that he avenge her of her adversary. The judge finally heard her and met her need because she would not give up. And that's how God would want us to be as the children of God, as to not giving up. And so in our conclusion on today, as we look back for just a moment about how we should pray, and we should always pray. We should pray when we are afflicted. We should pray for Jerusalem, and we should pray and because it's something that God has given to us to be in communication with him. Well, where should we pray? We should pray in secret. We should pray on the mountaintop, in the valley, and everywhere. Why should we pray? We should pray to forgive and to be forgiven, to communicate with God, and to receive spiritual guidance. How should we pray? We should pray effectively. We should pray fervently. We should pray humbly. And we should pray persistently, not giving up. And remember that prayer is actually a manifestation of our personal faith in and towards God. The scripture said, but without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Hebrews 11:6. When we pray, we inhibit faith that there is a God and that he hears and answers our prayer. So, child of God, let us remember, too often we measure prayer by the quantity rather than the quality. Although the lengthy prayer could benefit the one who is praying, the Lord condemned long praying simply for the sake of there being longevity. But when you're interceding, God is using you as that vehicle, and he is praying through you. And so that prayer may become lengthy because of the fact that he is praying through your life. Now, as that vessel, so that we won't get it mixed up, because sometimes many people say, well, you don't have to pray all that long. Sometimes you need to listen unto God. But when an intercessor has been opened up their hearts and their mind to allow God to flow through the needs of the people, the needs that are needed at that time, that prayer may become lengthy and things because they have become now a channel to pray through, to allow God to pray through. And that's what makes the difference between praying personal prayer and interceding. Is totally two different dynamics and entity, and sometimes people does not really get that true concept and the fundamentals of interceding and your own personal praying and things. There are different dynamics that goes on in those. Now, in this lesson, we have discovered the value of communicating the way that impresses God instead of mankind. Although others may be listening to our prayers, God hears our hearts and our motives rather than only our voices. So recognize that our motives and our hearts are being checked by God, even though many people hear the voices. And that's what happened to the Pharisees that were standing on the corners. God knew their motives, and he knew hearts. We should pray always and never quit. Not only should we pray in secret and on the mountain or in the valley, we should pray everywhere regardless of what is going on in our life. Moreover, prayer is a conversation with God. Among many things, it can be about our forgiving and receiving forgiveness as well as obtaining spiritual guidance. Last but not least, we are to pray effectually, fervently, humbly, and persistently. May we become the prayer warriors that our nation so desperately needs. May we become the intercessors that our churches cannot do without. Furthermore, may we discover the hidden treasure of heaven through our praying and calling on that mighty name of Jesus. Oh, Shandarabakurabosha. Oh, it is so powerful. As we pray and talk to our Lord and talk to God, he will hear and answer our prayer. Father God, we come right now in the name of Jesus and by the power that's in the Holy Ghost. We ask, oh God, that your sovereign will be done and bless and stir the prayer in the heart of your people. And Father, we appraise your blessed name and give you the glory and the honor and the praise because you are the righteous Savior and the Holy One of Israel. And you've given us the gift of prayer. And Father, we thank you because we choose to communicate with you and come into relationship with you. And through the vehicle of prayer and talking and communicating unto you. Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy and your grace. Father, Lord, we thank you and we give you all the praise, glory, and honor. And this is our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. I am so glad that you joined us on today, and I pray that you've been blessed by this lesson on prayer. We should pray, and we talked about the various elements of prayers. I pray that you begin to activate and begin to exercise your communication and your time with God as never before. Truly, he loves you with the everlasting love. May the blessings of the Lord continue to make you rich and add no sorrow. Remember always, if you don't have it, God got it. And you are just one question away from your miracle. All you need to do is ask, and you shall receive. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and the door shall be open unto you. May God richly bless you, is my prayer. Until we meet again, God bless you. Bye-bye.